Hello, this is Cyril Stevens, and I live in Christmas Valley. And what a joy it is to live, and what a joy it is to live in Christmas Valley. What a joy it is to bring you the Word of God and to discover some of the nuggets of truth that are hidden in the Word of God. And I want to take you into the prophecy of Isaiah and share with you one or two thoughts. That's all I want to do, so that you may have some new thoughts, some new understanding of the Word of God, and that you may rejoice with me in this day of the Lord. Now, let's look at Isaiah and chapter 60. Look at the very first verse, because it's so exciting if you stop and think about it. Now, I shall be using today the American Standard and the King James, so it might sound a little strange to you, but I'm using it so that you can understand it better, perhaps. Look at this opening verse of chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. How wonderful that is. Let's just look at some of the thinking that we might find here. Arise, shine. So many times we don't want to shine. Our circumstances are such a nuisance. But here the word is arise from the depression and circumstances that have kept you. This is from the Amplified Old Testament. Get out of the rut of leaning on the disturbances of your life. Get to the place where you arise out of it. It's not coming out of bed. It's getting out of the situation. Arise. Get out of the situation and shine. Oh, we all have funny situations happening. But this word shine is interesting from the Amplified Version. It says, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We should have great days. People say, how are you doing? Oh, well, you know, another day, another dollar. I'm just an old misery as I want to be, and I'm trying to make everybody as miserable as I think I am. And we have no get-up-and-go power. We need something. Oh, the Christians, the saints of the Lord Jesus need something. We need an injection of something that is more powerful. And I don't know of anything more powerful to be injected with than the resurrection of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. I've often thought of the way the sepulchre was put together, and I have seen how the sepulchre was put together, and how he laid on a shelf, as it were, and how when he had left the sepulchre, the stone being rolled away in a miraculous manner, Jesus was risen from the dead. It's very difficult for us to understand that real Christianity is understanding that Jesus is alive from the dead, and he, being the firstborn of many brethren, is the leader of the church, this new gathering of people, this new commodity that the disciples were being involved in. What a terrific thing this is. Jesus is risen. Now, when Mary was standing weeping because she couldn't work out what they had done with his body, she said in a most womanlike way, Sir, to the gardener, whom she thought was the gardener, Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid his body, and I will go and get him. She hadn't the power to get him. She hadn't any strength to carry him. But typical woman, she doesn't mind saying silly things, and she said, I will go and get him. How precious is the thought, how precious is the love of that woman. Well, arise from the situation that you're in and the circumstances that keep you down. Arise from that. Now, this is the word, you do the rising, you get up. So many times we expect God to do everything for us, and he does as a rule. But we have a responsibility to be following him so closely, be involved with him in such a marvelous manner that his will becomes our will. When he says, my will be done, we know exactly what he means. We need to arise and put ourselves in the place where his will be done. When his will is our will, and when that will is being performed, we will find that we are shining. We are shining. Now, some people will say that we're overzealous or we're overstimulated one way and another, and they will want to put us down. Don't let people do that to you, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Look at this verse 1. The glory of the Lord, the beauty of his holiness, the massiveness of his presence, which is with you, is shining through your life. Arise, arise. Now, Christian, you may suffer from depression and this, that, and the other. And I know how difficult it is to get rid of depression once it starts. But it's for you to turn the tables on the person that brings the depression on you. And that person is not human. He is Satan. And he will cause you to go under a cloud. It will be as if the cloud descends upon you and muffles your speech and plugs your ears, and it certainly reduces your vision. It's like a cloud, like a cloud. When I used to climb mountains, I used to love to climb into the clouds. I don't know why it was, but there was something very intimate and personal of getting into the cloud. But it was soon that I would be thinking in my mind, it's time for me to get out of this cloud. It's cold. It's time for me to get from this covering because it's not very nice. It's damp. It's time for me to do something and climb higher out of this or go down lower and get out of this. But I need to get out of this cloud. And that's what we need to do. Talking to a friend of mine, who was just not really complaining, but we were talking and sharing experiences with the Lord Jesus and with each other. He said his biggest problem was his depression, and his depression would come on him like a cloud. And he talked to me of this, and I recognized every syllable that he was using, because it had happened to me. I know what depression is. One moment I'm full of the sunshine and the beauty of the presence of the Lord Jesus, and then without any noise, without anything happening, there's this cloud that descends upon me. Oh, how do you get out of that? Arise, climb beyond it, get over it, get on with life. Don't allow depression to overwhelm you. But arise and shine, for your light has come. Jesus, we all know, is the light of the world. Jesus is the illumination of the presence of God in the individual Christian. And a saint is a person in whom this wonderful Lord Jesus shines. A friend of mine took me aside one day and said, very simply to me, the art of being a preacher is be a pulpit for the Holy Spirit to speak. Now, one day somebody came to me and said, you know, sometimes your face is all glowing and shining, and another time it's not shining. It's odd. And he couldn't work it out. Well, I was a little depressed over him not being able to work it out. Talking to another friend, I said, am I losing it? Am I crazy? Or is something happening? Do I need to attend to something? And he said, no. The Lord visits you when you're in prayer and you shine. Everybody who is in prayer shines. Without going further into that conversation, I want to share with you one of the ways to arise is not necessarily pray, but is necessarily to draw near to the Lord Jesus. Draw near to him. I have been known, in fact, my wife has said, who was on the telephone when you were in the other room and there was nobody there on the telephone. I was talking with the Lord. She's learned not to ask the question who was there because it is a waste of time. Oh, I was just talking out loud, I would say. Well, I suppose in this day and age, somebody would clamp me in a mental home or something similar because I talk out loud. I think it's a healthy thing to talk out loud. I think it's a healthy thing to read the scriptures out loud. You may think that's a strange thing to do, but I do truly believe that we are much better off when we learn to speak out. Now let's look at verse 2. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations, verse 3, will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When you step out with Jesus every day, your hand held by his, and you step into the confusion of the next day, or whatever you may call that, when that happens to you, you will discover people will be drawn to you. This really does speak of Jerusalem and to individuals. The darkness will cover the earth, the deep darkness, the peoples. People get depressed, can't take it anymore. And so they commit suicide or whatever they do instead of turning to the Lord Jesus. Now, if you're a saint and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, this should not come into your vocabulary, nor should it be your experience. And so you may have to cry out loud, Satan, leave me. Jesus is with me. Jesus lives and has taken up residence inside of me. So tempt me not. Move over. Shove off. You may think that's strange language to speak to Satan, but I'm afraid that's the language he understands, and he has to move off. That in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. Move over. Get out of the way. Now, there are things in our lives that we need to deal with because deep darkness comes upon the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. I want his glory to shine. Then it must shine in me, and that glory must shine in me day by day as I eat the daily bread of his supply, day by day, as I'm kept in his grace and his love, day by day as I remember that I'm justified because Jesus died in my stead and took upon him the sins of many upon the tree and dealt with sin once and for all, that those of us trusting Jesus Christ and have a born-again experience with him, no one else, just him. Why, we have a newness of life and his glory shines through. That's not something you boast about. It's something that happens. It's just his presence in you. And he shines. He shines. Arise, shine. Get out of the situation you're in and shine. how about how to do this? Well, the Lord Jesus said, arise and walk to the man that was gravely ill and had been for many years, 40 plus years. Jesus reached out his hand and said, arise and walk from the grave. Let us go forth and rest a while, said Jesus, when his disciples were absolutely befuddled as to why John Baptist had had his head chopped off. It's a terrible thing that happened. He was murdered by Herod just to satisfy a silly oath he made to a 16-year-old girl whose sensuality and dancing had moved his emotions. And he said, I'll give you anything to the half of my kingdom. And she went to her mother and said, what shall I ask? And her mother hated John Baptist because John Baptist had stood up publicly and said, you should not be with Herod. And the reason you should not be is because his brother, your husband, is still alive and you need to move over. You need to get right with God. And she hated to hear that. Didn't want to hear it at all. And so she said, ask him for the head of John Baptist. So she goes back to Herod, and she had to have some sort of mental depravity somewhere. But she said, I want to have the head of John Baptist. And Herod was loath to give it to him because he liked John Baptist. Even though he was in prison, he liked him a lot. He was aware of something special about John Baptist. He was aware of the presence of God. So he ordered that John would have his head sliced off and put upon a large platter and presented to her, and she took it to her mother. What a ghastly thing to have done. What a dreadful thing to have contemplated. But you see, people don't recognize that revenge is mine, saith the Lord thy God. Now, I know some people, because I won't argue with them and because I won't fight with them, some people have assessed that I'm a coward or that I'm a pushover. But I'm not really, because I give those persons to the Lord and ask him to bear whatever judgment he seems right and fair upon them, that they may straighten out and honor him. And I have seen some enormously difficult things become very simple. God has dealt with these people with great love, not animosity, but with great love and kindness, and they have turned and changed and altered their opinions. And some of those people are dear friends today, whereas once they were enemies, as it were. It's a great thought when you put things in the right perspective. Well, the act of arising precedes the blessing and the miracle. We discover darkness not on us, but on the people. And great darkness, deep darkness, comes upon such people. If you look at the city of Jerusalem, you could go to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, or you can just follow this 60th chapter of Isaiah and into the 19th verse, where we read between 19 and 22 these words, no longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. Then all the people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified, the smallest one will become a clan, the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, there's so much in these verses that we could be here forever. But if you turn the pages, please, to the book of Revelation, you can discover more about this wonderful experience of having the shining moving through you. It can be more of your personal experience. In Revelation, for instance, in the 21st chapter, verses 2 and 3, these precious words, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful." The faithfulness of God is being revealed in the Word of God here. "Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They shall gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters be carried in your arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, and young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense. They will bear good news of the praises of the Lord." And so it goes on. And how wonderful this picture becomes. And the more you read it, the bigger the picture. The bigger the picture, the more detail you can understand. It's incredibly beautiful. But if I return just for a moment or two to this 60th chapter of Isaiah, I find that resurrection is going to be seen. You see, a young man in Nain was dead, being carried to the cemetery, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession. And Jesus reached forth his hand, and he said, "I say unto you, young man, arise," and he rose. Can you imagine the joy of the mother's heart who was standing there weeping because of his loss? Can you imagine the joy of the people and the startled attitude of their souls as they saw this young man clambering out off the stretcher that was carrying him? How precious this becomes. How remarkable it all is. "The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising," says the word here. The command "arise" is coupled with the enablement of brightness rising. Can you imagine Lazarus, dead for 4 days, wrapped in his grave clothes, and Jesus uses the expression, "Come out of there." And he gets up and he comes out. And he is out once and for all. How gracious, how wonderful is the Lord our God to bring him out of that dreadful place that he was in. Well, I must hurry to end this, but I want to share this very quickly. Shine. This is brightness. And in Isaiah 60 and verse 15, we discover the meaning of this word even more so. It's really the word radiant whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. And I believe that God makes us who love the Lord Jesus bright so that others can see the radiance of God the Father. When Jesus is with you, he says, I am the light of the world. And John says, when he talks about how he met Jesus, he says, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. We beheld his radiance, in other words, the illumination of verse 5 here. Darkness has never overpowered it. Look at verse 5 just briefly. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. Oh, how precious all of this is. God has given us shining. So shine for the Lord Jesus. Shine for the living God. Shine because he has made you a saint, and he has given you all the blessings of his precious holy word. Go and shine for the living God. There is transfiguration. Paul at Damascus, John at Patmos, they were all filled with this radiance and shone for the Lord Jesus. What about you? Arise, get out of this cloudy place. Shine. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that though we don't quite understand how all this takes place, we ask that the Lord Jesus may be glorified in our daily walk, in our day-to-day experience. Help us to shine, Lord, please. Let the radiance of heaven be seen, even tasted on earth. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.